Hello, I'm North Belfast comedian Terry McHugh, and I have spent years taking the piss out of people who have podcasts, but I've finally been convinced that I'm going to have to start one myself. So join me, the most reluctant podcaster on the internet, as I invite you into my home every week and just ramble about whatever's going on and what I'm calling Terry McHugh, talking round the house. Hello, welcome to Talking Around the House. I'm Terry McHugh, and guess what? Some people listened to this last week. How do I know? Because I got a comment. Somebody commented, which means somebody listened all the way through. So if you listened last week and you're back this week, thank you very, very much. This is the first week you're listening to this. Welcome. How are you? I'm Terry McHugh, North Belfast comedian, but not a podcaster. See, this is the thing. I'm a stand-up comic. I go out on stage, I tell jokes, people laugh, people clap, I jump in my car, and I go home. I'm not a broadcaster. And, you know, because like being a broadcaster, like, you know, being a radio guy and or an interviewer, that takes years of work. In the same way, being a comic takes years of work. And that's part of the problem with the word mouth. There's people out there, they think, oh, I jump on stage, grab a mic, say some words, and the next morning, they've got stand-up comedian on their Facebook profile. I've only started calling myself a stand-up comedian in the past few years because it takes work and it takes time, right? So you're not listening to a podcaster. You're not listening to a broadcaster. You are listening to a stand-up comedian sitting in his house talking to himself. And he appreciates you listening. He really, really does. And right now, he's about to put some chips in the oven. So if you've got headphones in, maybe turn it down a wee bit here. Here we go. Chips. And we will do those for 18 minutes. Bear with me a wee second. See, this is quality listening. Where else would you get this? There we go. Chips are on. So that's the plan. When that beeps, I'm done. So yeah, thanks for listening last week. Thanks for listening if you're listening this week. And the comment that I got was from a guy or a girl who was asking, what's the job you had in Amsterdam that paid £1,000 a week and had an expense account? Because I was talking about that last week. I was talking about my yo-yo days. And I kind of forgot that maybe people listening to this don't know I was once a yo-yo champion or what a yo-yo champion was or that I was in Amsterdam being a yo-yo champion. So, how do you get a job as a yo-yo champion? Basically, I was 16, and if you remember way back, it was 1996, and then it was like 4 or 5 years, you know, sort of 90s and then 80s, there was the Coca-Cola yo-yo craze. And I was just a 16-year-old kid who was really good with yo-yos. I had no girlfriend, but I was good with yo-yos, and I had the golden spinner, and people were like, oh my God, Terry has the golden spinner, and he's won yo-yo competitions. He's a fucking loser. And the guy that was holding the competitions in Belfast was called Ken Russell. The yo-yos were called Russell Spinners. So me, in a Columbo moment, thought he might own the company. So I went along to speak to him, and it turned out his dad owned the company, but he was taking it on. And I just asked him, I just said to him, says, how did I get your job? We 16-year-old North Belfast. How did I get your job, mate? And he says, tell you what, he says, if you can come back to me before this promotion's over, and I think there was 4 or 5 weeks of the promotion left to go. He says, if you can come back to me and you can play with two yo-yos at the one time, I'll give you a job. So away I went and I practiced like a mad thing with two yo-yos, like a loser in my bedroom, swinging away at things. I mean, what are you doing in that room? I'm playing with yo-yos. I'm playing with my yo-yo. Oh, Jesus. You know, but, and I did, all of a sudden I could play with two. So I'm back then and I went, there you go. There's me playing with two yo-yos at once. And he said, there's a job for you. Give your details. We'll be in touch. So I gave him all the bits and pieces, phone numbers and all that kind of stuff. So promotion ended 4 or 5 weeks later. Off they bugged. There was no more yo-yos that we had in Northern Ireland. And, well, you say there was no yo-yos left we have in Northern Ireland. The place is fucking full of them. But off they went. And I heard nothing, right? Now, that was sort of the summertime, 1996. My phone rang, my landline, because obviously we didn't have mobile phones back then. In fact, do you know what we called landlines back in 1997? Fucking phones. And the phone rang. Dan answered it. And he says, yes, I'll get them for you now. He put me on the phone. And it was the office. It was the UU people's office in Florida. And they said, right, do you want to be a UU champion? And I was like, of course I want to be a UU champion. And she says, brilliant. Okay, we've got the job for you. You're going to go to the Republic. And in my wee head, my wee 17-year-old head at this point, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, the Republic of, I'm in the head, I'm picturing, you know, exotic, warm country with like, you know, beautiful women and oh, this is going to be, oh, the Republic of Wirr, the Republic of Wirr. And she went, the Republic of Ireland, you're going to be living in Dundalk for 3 months. And that was it. That was my first yo-yo gig. But the thing was, I was meant to be going, but that was late August. It was late August. Because I was meant to be going back to school to do my A-levels the next week. And I remember going, right, I have a choice to make here. I can go be a yo-yo champion and travel the world, Dundalk. Or I can go back and do A-levels. And I hated school. I hated my teachers. I hated authority. I went to St. Malachy's College. I hated the place. It was one of them schools that, you know, if I was walking through the sort of corridor, and I don't know why I couldn't think of the word for corridor. If I was walking through the corridor and there was another guy walking through the corridor and we both had, you know, the same uniform infringement, like say, I don't know, fucking, we were wearing the wrong blazer or something, right? But say the guy that was doing the exact same thing as me, say he wanted to be a lawyer or a doctor, was on the chess club or played for the Gaelic team, he could walk on, do whatever the fuck he wanted. Dickhead here would get pulled in. I spent more time sitting in offices going, hold on, I'll show you another 40 people doing the exact same thing, but because they represent the school or their daddy's got money or their daddy's the Lord Mayor, that was one of the time, they get away with it. So it made me hate all authority. But anyway, that was my choice. Go be a UU champion, go to school. Obviously, I was siding on going to be a UU champion. And I went and spoke to my dad. I was like, right, dad, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go be a UU champion. And hopefully travel the world after Drogheda and Dundalk. And my dad said to me, he says, son, he says, you know what? He says, I'd be doing the same. I said to him, he said, well, my mummy wants me to go back and do A-levels. I said, but I want to go be a UU champion. And my dad said to me, he says, son, he says, the chance to do A-levels will never go away. He says, when you go way off, you know, and be a UU champion. He says, you go travel the world for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. He says, I come back here. He says, A-levels will always be there. He says, the offer to do this might not always be there. He says, you're being offered the chance to go see the world and be paid for the privilege. He says, go be a UU champion. And I went, okay. And I went to walk away and he called me back. And he says, son, see if you tell your mother I told you that, I'll fucking kill you. I made a decision. I wasn't going back to school. The thing is, I waited until the first day and I walked into St. Malachy's College in my civvies, didn't put my uniform on, walked in, got pulled immediately, brought into the office, and I just sat there and I let them vent. Oh, blah, 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 why you no uniform? And blah, 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 blah. And I just went, because I'm not coming back here. And I got up and I walked out. In my head, it was like a movie. You know, I was walking out and there was people, you know, the students lying in the place, applauding me out, going, fucking yes, Terry, you tell them. Like, nobody noticed me going in, nobody noticed me going out. So that was me. I was a UU champion. Off I went. Went to down south and I was in Drogheda and Dundalk and sort of North Dublin, over as far as Athlone and, you know, Cavan and Monaghan. Covered quite an area as a UU champion. Done that for a handful of months, came home, and then I got a phone call saying, Terry, do you want to go on another UU thing? And I went, of course I do. And I went, brilliant, it's in Holland. And off I went, and they slapped me in Amsterdam. Now, what a UU champion done was basically, we would have, you'd have competitions at shops that sold UUs, and the kids would turn up, and you'd go, right, you enter the competition, but you have to own a Coca-Cola UU. Although it said that it wasn't Coca-Cola UUs, this is the other thing. I wanted to be a Coca-Cola UU champion. I love Coke, right? The fizzy type. I drank it by the bucket load. But it was like the Coca-Cola yo-yo champion. See, when I got to Dublin, I went and I got picked up at the train station, and I was getting driven to some fucking place in central Dublin. And I looked, and you know, in the wee sort of center console of the car, like the wee cup holder bit, there was a yo-yo in there, but it said Opal Fruits on it. And that's when I thought to myself, hang on, I'm not going to be a Coca-Cola yo-yo champion. I'm going to be a fruity yo-yo champion. And when we got to Holland, it was like Skittles and Snickers, I think. Two things that just don't go together. But anyway, so what you would do is you would go and you'd go, you have to have a Coke yo-yo or a fucking Opal Fruits yo-yo or whatever. And they would go by the yo-yo, they'd enter the competition, and the competitions during the week, they could win, like, you know, they'd win gold yo-yos and t-shirts and stuff. You would use those competitions, they invite the kids to come along to this big competition on a Saturday. Big competition on a Saturday. I mean, this was 1998 at this point in Holland. I think the first prize every Saturday was a PlayStation. Like, every Saturday, kids would come to these competitions. The big ones on the Saturday were normally in a shopping centre. And, oh, we had a cracking one. And, oh, there was a stage, and it was brilliant. You used to have hundreds of people there every week watching this. Which I think is why when I went into stand-up, it was... Because I remember saying to someone when I went into stand-up, my first gig, he had done one gig the month before. And he said to me, he says, oh, you know, start giving advice. And you're like, mate, you've done one show, you know what I mean? And he was like, oh, you know, blah, blah. And I says, the way I'm looking at it is, this is a perform before when I was a yo-yo champion. And he said to me, he goes, well, performing as a yo-yo champion and performing as a stand-up comedian is completely different. I don't think that's going to help. But it did, obviously, because, you know, when I was doing Yo-Yo Champion shows, I spent a lot of time dicking about trying to make an audience laugh. But anyway, oh, there was hundreds of people watching. It was brilliant. But the first prize was a PlayStation, you know, so kids turned up to win PlayStations. But it paid well. Paid a grand a week. They paid your expenses, okay? So you got your petrol paid for and, you know, any sort of office-y stuff and all that kind of stuff you would need. And it was brilliant because, like even as a 17-year-old in both Dublin and Holland, I landed into Holland sort of March, April time, so I was still 17 at the time. My birthday's the 9th of July, if anyone wants to send me anything. But even as a 17-year-old, I was going to petrol stations and was like, yeah, that's... I've put, you know, 40 guilder of petrol in the car. And what do you want? Well, I'm recording the thing. Yeah. What are you up to? What game are you playing? Fortnite. Right. My 14-year-old, 15, what age are you? My 14-year-old son has just come in to get, like, biscuits and stuff. So he's open. Again, if you have headphones in, you might want to turn it down a bit. He's clattering about getting wagon wheels. What else are you getting? Fuck me, hurry up. Get more, because you're going to come back. No, what, when's she going home? Yeah, because I really don't want her walking in the kitchen and me talking to myself. She's on a walk. She's on a walk? Mate, it's fucking 10:15 at night. She's not in the walk. If she's on a walk now, she's lying in a ditch somewhere. She's probably in Shauna's house, thinking, mate. What was it, Sandy? See, Michael, I don't know what I was talking about now. Ah, so it was in Amsterdam, right? Is that what I was talking about? Yes, that's what it was. Even as a fucking 17-year-old, I was going to petrol stations and going, yeah, I just put 40 guilder of petrol in the car. Is there any chance you could write me a receipt for 60 guilder? Even as a 17-year-old, I was... it's the North Belfast in you. You know what I mean? You just go, right, we'll fiddle this somehow. But it was weird because they then got to Holland and he says, right, you're gonna be in Amsterdam. Your area is going to be sort of North Amsterdam, right up to the tip of Holland, up where Den Helder and all this. And the strangest thing about Holland was a couple of things I found strange about, well, the Netherlands, sorry, was every wee town had a red light district. Like, I went into this wee tiny town, I think it was Castricum, I think it was called. And it was like a one-horse town, you know, it was nothing big. You know, you had your petrol station and your, you know, just a wee town. Like, you know, it would be like, I don't know, like Port Glenome or, you know what I mean? Like, and you just It was just like a row of windows with nitties in it, you know, and you're going, this place is so small, like, everybody must know everybody here, you know, and like, it just was odd to me. But the strangest thing I found about the Netherlands was the red light district in Amsterdam. Now, if you've never been there, go, if you're ever in Amsterdam, go give it a quick look, right? Just take a wander through it. It's mad. And that's the other thing. Before I left to go to Amsterdam, I remember like someone warning me going, oh, be careful in Amsterdam. There's going to be loads of people offering you drugs. And you're like, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, but enough of that. No, but the red lights, it's like, it's huge. It's a huge, big part of the city. And you're walking, and it's basically windows. It's doors, windows, and there's women behind them going, Asher, come on in, and we'll do this. Right? And the way of actually, they're sort of going, come on ahead, come on in. And some of the streets in it are so narrow that if one of the ladies opens their door out, it blocks the street. And I was walking down one of them at one point, and the lady opened the door and just stood it into the street. So I couldn't get past her. And she was like, come on in. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I did not go in to any of them. 17 and had the whole, I'm not paying for it, thing in his head. Like some sort of idiot. But I was like, no, I'm not getting there. You know, could you please, you know, like, I mean, and they're not wearing much clothes. You know, I mean, this woman's basically in her underwear in the street going, Asher, come on ahead. I was on a grand a week. And I looked at her and went, oh, sorry, can I just get past you there? Like, you know, 42-year-old me looks back at 17-year-old me and goes, what the fuck was wrong with you? But right in the middle, the reason I'm telling you this story is right in the middle of the red light district in Amsterdam is a Catholic chapel. Catholic chapel. And I wasn't sure if I'd imagined this, so I Googled it. And it is, there's a Catholic chapel right slap bang in the middle of the red light district. So, now my mother is Catholic, as she is religious. So every country I went to, she was, the first thing you do, son, is you find a chapel and you get to your mass. I found a chapel. I went there every Sunday, but I didn't go into mass. I bunked off mass. Or bunked off mass. Hey, jokes. It's called the Old Church. I think it's called the Old Church. And Google this. It's like right in the middle of the red light district. Sure, I'll come out of mass. Go, forget it. You know, can you imagine going to confession there? Like, you're walking through the red light district going, ooh, gee, whoa, look at that. Oh, Christ, fuck, what would you do? Ooh, gee, fuck. Oh, in the confession, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I have had impure thoughts about the ladies. And he goes, say five Hail Marys. And you go out and you say your five Hail Marys, you walk straight out the door of the chapel, and you go, ah, for fuck's sake, straight back in. Hello, Father, it has been 5 minutes since my last confession. I have had impure thoughts about the ladies. Yeah. That's 10 Hail Marys this time. You go, fuck it. There's a minute left on the chips. So, yeah, so look, and another comment I got on this thing was about the artwork. I'm going to use the artwork's not great. The artwork's a crayon drawn that I done, right? And the reason I went down that route is because I'm not big into this, right? I just want to go on stage and tell jokes and go on tour, but apparently to do all that now, being funny's not done. I've got to do all this other stuff, which, you know, I'm doing. But it's like, the artwork was like, I'm not spending money getting artwork done. I'll just do a drawing. And I'm like, I like that. But, you know, the artwork's rubbish. You know that. You know what I mean? I don't even know why I'm rambling about artwork now, but that was one comment I got. The artwork's made shit. That's why, right? I want this to kind of be the anti-podcast. So I didn't go big on the artwork. And anyway, look, where am I gonna go? I don't know. This is gonna beep in a minute. Hang on, they check my chips. They can do another couple of minutes. Hang on. One, two. There we go. So anyway, I'm gonna go, and I hope you all had a good Easter. By the way, I hope you had a good Easter. I hope it was better than my Easter. I sat watching Celtic, and we got beat by the Old Firm. We didn't deserve the win; we really didn't. And it annoyed me, and I just went on the beer. and I drank all day. But we had a normal enough Easter. Kids get up, got their Easter eggs. And, you know, my youngest boy's will be 12 in August. So the Easter Bunny thing we don't do. But we used to do the Easter Bunny. But the thing about the Easter Bunny is that you don't ever go and tell, like, it's not like the guy in the big red suit. And if you're listening to this with your children, turn it off now and listen to it when they're not there. But you, like, you never go along with the kids and go, oh, by the way, the Easter Bunny's, you know, you never have that conversation like you do for the guy in the big red suit. You know, it's almost like they just figure out themselves, go, fucking rabbit brick and fucking cream egg, catch yourself all. You know, they just figure it out, and they seem to figure it out at an early enough age. Man, the big red suit, different story altogether. Here's a conversation, which I'm going to have pretty soon before he goes to big school. I talk about this on stage. The best, there's no Santa story I've ever heard, was a guy in our school in P3. His mother and father sat him down and told him that Santa wouldn't be coming that year because Santa had been killed by the Rat. We were upset for all about 5 minutes and then realized, sure, the Rat wouldn't kill Santa. Sure, Santa's a fiend. And I reckon that's a good enough place to wrap this up. If you've got this far, thank you very, very much. You know, by the way, I think you can review these things, you can subscribe and all that stuff. So do all that as well. I'll be back again next week with more ramblings on Talking Around the House. I've been Terry McHugh. Thank you very, very much. See you again.